It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here's Harlan. It's been relatively impressive tonight. Throws it off the boards to center. Back forward by Robertson. Now it's fit in front. They score. Joe Pavelski gets it from Hintz, and Joe Pavelski makes it 5-2 Dallas.
Yeah, I think the there's a missizing call on the first goal. He was 15 feet from the red line, no icing call. In saying that, obviously we tried to bump it back and reverse it, and we didn't get to the puck, and it was a pretty tough play for Koppel. The last goal of the first period, 2 seconds ago, I think Mario was just trying to rim it to Cooch, who let it go just to get it out of the zone with 2 seconds. There's guys coming to the bench, they should have touched it. But I still think it went right by the Dallas player as well. That easily could have been a no icing call in the period would be over. Saying that, we lose the draw, it's not a good goal. And, we lost first period, we won the second, came out, we won the third, but you can't start allowing four goals. And that goal was the backbreaker right there. I mean, we get a point tonight and maybe two going into overtime if the difference is 2 seconds, and it's just a bad goal.
Sometimes I like to think about talking to myself in the past from the reality. Right now, it's like, hey, Ted, in 2022, you're going to go to a Sharks game and Joe Pavelski is going to score a goal. And I'd be like, wow, that's awesome. And then I'd say to myself, but it's not going to be good at all. It's going to suck, and it's going to really be the difference-making goal or one of a couple difference-making goals in the game. And I would react to myself. I'd be like, what are you talking about, Ted? And these are the kind of conversations you have with yourself at the later stages of a long, long season for the San Jose Sharks, which is not trending towards the playoffs, as they do fall to the Dallas Stars last night by a final of 5-4, making a furious comeback in the final minutes of the game, but ultimately falling short in a very weird game overall. I guess that's the best way that I could describe it, because let's go back to the start of that game. You know, the Sharks kind of came flying out of the gate, and I thought that they had really good legs. I thought that they looked very, very potent. I thought that they looked exactly what they wanted to look like in that game. And you go up with an early goal from Bonino, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, we're sitting pretty here. This is exactly the type of start you wanted to have. Let's see if the Sharks can build upon this. And then you immediately give up 3 unanswered goals, and you're just thinking to yourself, what on earth is happening? Because I thought even when they were giving up the goals, it was like they weren't playing terribly or anything. It's like a couple of them were some unfortunate plays for Kaapo Kähkönen, just some bad luck. And then, you know, others, it was just like, how is that going in? And then you get the goal at the end of the period, and it's just like, really? It's 4-1 right now? You had that type of a start, and after the first 20 minutes of the game, you're down 4-1. I couldn't believe that. That was just something that was flabbergasting to me. And when you see a game go on like that, you just have to kind of shake your head and just figure out that it's not your year if you're the San Jose Sharks. And that's not to say that they were not guilty of some sins, and they didn't do everything possible to not let those goals go in the first period. I definitely put the blame on them, even if there were, you know, non-icing calls and things like that. But it's just like, man, that's just the way the season has gone. There's no other way to describe it than saying that that is the way that the season has gone. And the San Jose Sharks continue to find themselves on the wrong end of games left and right, even when it feels like they do things right. Yeah, I mean, it took a while for their offense to get back going into the game, but then Brent Burns scores, and you feel like there's a little bit of momentum, and you're fighting to get yourself back into it, and you just, again, you're falling too short, too late once again. And I think that's one of the things that gets really kind of annoying in a year like this, is that you feel like things can go your way early on. It's like, okay, you're up. You did things right, and then the game just gets away from you so rapidly. And, you know, last year with the Sharks, this was something we saw consistently. The Sharks often scored the first goal, and then had a bit of a collapse where you could just see their shoulders slump and they gave up everything. But, you know, that wasn't what happened last night. I thought the Sharks were still playing well. I thought they were still doing what they needed to do to get themselves a win. It was just like everything that could have gone against them went against them. And it's like you see it happen over and over and over in that first period. I mean, giving up a goal with 0.3 seconds left in the first period, my God. My eyes could not have rolled any harder when that actually occurred. And it's not that there was, you know, you gotta do better than that, obviously. But it's just like, you gotta be kidding me. I was in literal disbelief that that goal had gone in with that little time left in the period, because it was like, you saw that there was a faceoff coming, you knew what you were dealing with. And I thought to myself, well, surely they can't let a goal in here. And lo and behold, it goes in. And that's just how this year is gone. It's like, you think that you're doing things the right way. You think that you're trending things in the right direction. You think that you're doing what it's going to take for you to kind of get over the hump. And then suddenly you're down 4-1 after the first period, including letting up a goal or letting in a goal with 0.3 seconds left. I mean, it's just, it's pretty amazing sometimes. I got to say, guys, it's pretty amazing just the way that the Sharks can find different ways to shoot themselves in the foot. And I'm not saying that they didn't, you know, do anything right last night. They did a lot of things right last night, but ultimately that's what they do. It's like they give teams opportunities to capitalize, and the team capitalizes on those opportunities, and the Sharks did not do enough to get back into it until too late, and so they end up falling short by a goal. I mean, that is a very, very clear way to lose a game in the NHL, and that's what the Sharks have done consistently over the course of this year, and they've given up too many opportunities, and they've let teams capitalize on opportunities while they themselves have not done the same on their end, taking advantage of every opportunity they get. You know, Kaapo Kähkönen in that first period, he was great against Colorado, and then he had a rough night where, again, it was not all his fault, but he just was not doing enough to get the stops, and then James Reimer comes in, and he's really, really good. And you wonder to yourself, well, maybe, you know, if you had Reimer in the entire time, and I don't like to play those games, obviously, because you're trying to get Reimer some rest, and you're trying to get him, you know, just overall looking and playing a better game. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, that's why you see how important Reimer has been this year. You know, Reimer has been a shutdown goalie. He's not going to let in a whole lot. And you saw the difference, how much he settled things when he was in there. And that's, again, Reimer is used to the Sharks. He's been playing for them all year. Kaapo Kähkönen has been here for a matter of weeks, and he's still getting used to everything out there on the ice, which definitely plays a factor into everything that happens. That said, it just felt like you needed more from Kähkönen earlier in that game. You needed him to make some stops. You needed him to not let at least a couple of those in. You want your goalie ultimately in every game to give your team a chance to win. You know, I don't need Kähkönen or Reimer or Hill or any of those guys to be absolutely, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the second coming of Patrick Waugh. I don't need to see that in any given game. I just need them to give the Sharks a chance to win. And that's not what we got from Kähkönen last night. And credit to James Reimer, he did come in and, you know, only let in one more goal after he entered the game, and the Sharks tried to give themselves a chance to get back into that game. But let's be honest, guys, if you give up four goals in the first period, there is not a high likelihood that you're going to come back into that game. But again, that's another thing that is a credit to the Sharks, is that they don't quit. And we saw this in that game against Colorado a couple weeks ago. We've seen it, obviously, you know, comeback win against Calgary. They have done pretty well in a lot of games to kind of get themselves back into it when it looks like they're out of it. And they keep on grinding and they keep on pushing and they keep on fighting to get themselves into the game. But you would like to see those four goals come at a different pace and a different caliber. It's like you'd like to score, you know, maybe two in the first and another early in the second and another in the third to give yourself like a 4-2 lead and not give up as many goals in that first period. It's like, or if you're going to give up four goals, you'd like to see it spread out a little bit more over the course of the game. I mean, if you had given up only three, if you don't give up that goal with 0.3 seconds left in the first period, maybe you walk away with a point out of last night and you feel like you just played overall a little bit better. Instead, it's like you collapse. And I don't even know if collapse is the right term to talk about what happened early in that game, because it didn't feel like they were completely out of sorts. It didn't feel like they were completely lost out there on the ice. It felt like they were playing decently. It just wasn't really a clean enough first period. It's like there was a little bit of slop and there was a little bit of missed assignments and there was a little bit of some problems and some defensive breakdowns. It's like they weren't glaring, but it was enough for the Stars to take advantage of. And in the NHL, if you give your opposition an opportunity to take advantage of, chances are they're going to do so. And the Sharks are not good enough to be able to give up those opportunities and while not capitalizing on their own. And when all was said and done, you know, you lose by a final of 5-4. And there were some bright spots. I mean, I think that you try to take away the positives from that game more than you do the negatives. And you like what you've seen from John Leonard. I think that he still is a guy that has a lot of potential and maybe more as a depth guy, third or fourth line guy going forward. But you like his athleticism. You like his ability to be a playmaker. I think that you utilize his speed. I think that you utilize his instincts. And he's a guy who, if he puts it all together, can have a high future as a consistent player in the NHL. And I think the same thing can be said of Sasha Chmielewski. And that was a big talking point after the game, is just how well that he sees the game. And I do think it's very obvious when you watch him out there on the ice. He does not, you know, like a Gregor or a Leonard, have that athleticism, have that speed. He's not a great skater. But if you watch his positioning, if you watch where he sets up, if you watch how he sees the things happening on the ice, you do see his high hockey IQ. And, you know, it's sometimes you do need guys like that. You need the ability to have guys that are not the standout athletes, the brilliant skaters, the guys that just see the game differently and have things working at a slower level and can set guys up and can see plays before they're happening. You know, I look to things like that in, you know, the less athletic guys because they have to make up for it. When guys are brilliant athletes, I'm not saying that they do not have the mind for it, because so many of them do. It's not, you know, that's very clear. They have everything going. But, you know, when you have a guy who's not as great a skater, who's not as fast, who's not the overwhelming athlete, you look at other things that they are able to develop. And for Chmielewski, that's what we see. He is developing that mind. He is developing that hockey IQ at a rapid rate. And you see that the game kind of moves a little bit slower for him than maybe it does for some of the other guys. And, you know, that growth in the young players is going to be a big point of emphasis moving forward. And I know that, you know, some of you would rather see wins right now as opposed to emphasis on the young players. And some of you would rather just, you know, see nothing but the young players and just try and get every Barracuda player up here at the NHL level to see exactly what you can get out of them. There is definitely a bit of a fracturing in terms of what some Sharks fans want to see right now versus what others want to see. And I get it. That's what happens when you're deep in a season where you're not headed towards the playoffs. Some of the people want to say, hey, keep on fighting till all is said and done. And some of the people want to say, you know what? I'd like to see a little bit more of the young guys. And I get it. You know, it's April. In an ideal world, they would be rounding into form and getting ready for a deep playoff run. But, you know, that's not the way that it's been for the Sharks this year. And obviously, you want to do everything possible to get yourself back in that position for next year and to be ready to be back into that playoff mode. But you hope that the development work that they are doing right now, the opportunity that they're giving guys out there on the ice, will allow them to have that success moving forward, will allow them to be that much better of a team. But it's hard to feel anything but frustrated when you give up 4 goals in the first period, including one with 0.3 seconds left, only to come storming back and score 4 goals when all is said and done, but fall by a final of 5-4. I mean, that was kind of a gut punch, that goal with 0.3 seconds left in the first period. I mean, I know I talked about Pavelski's goal, and that was the 5th goal that made it a 5-2 lead at that point and ended up being the game winner. But if you want to talk about all the goals that are going to bother me over the course of that game, it's the one with 0.3 seconds left in the period. I mean, no goal do you ever feel about any of them going in. You just kind of understand that the opposition is going to score against you over the course of a game. Giving up a goal with 0.3 seconds left in the first period is so deflating. You don't like to give up a goal late in a period when, you know, when you're in those last 3-2 minutes. Those can be relatively deflating. When you give it up with 0.3 seconds left, that's the kind of goal that can make a breaker game. And I think that ultimately that did make and or break the game. Now, it probably forced Bob Bugner's hand and getting Kakinen out of there and getting Reimer onto the ice. And then, you know, you don't know what changes if you keep Kakinen out there, who is not having his best game. But at the same time, I do look at the way that game played out, and it's just like, God, that one goal, if we're going to say one goal was the difference maker, that's the one. And it's ultimately those difference-making goals. You see them when they happen sometimes. You know, whether it's a shorthanded goal, whether it is a goal that's just a classic mistake where you give it over in your own end, or a simple one like this one where you know, lose the draw and give up a goal was the clock is literally expiring on the first period, those are the goals that are the difference makers. Those are the goals that hurt the most. And that one, when all was said and done, was the one that really just, I was thinking about it on the drive home from the game last night. Just thinking, how on earth does that goal get into the back of the ice? Because, you know, you needed a confluence of things to happen. You needed to have the bounces work a certain way. You needed to have the puck end up in a bad position for Kakinen, and then suddenly it's in the back of the net. And I just, again, I could not have rolled my eyes any harder when that goes in. And not at the Sharks on the ice. I wasn't necessarily upset with them. It was just being upset with the circumstance. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how is that actually occurring? How was that the end result of that sequence right there to where the puck ended up in the back of the net? It was the classic, oh, you got to be effing kidding me response that kind of rattled through my head and is still rattling through my head this morning, I assure you. And as much as I get ticked off about that goal and the fact that the Sharks were down 5-2, like when I was watching them during the game, I was not overwhelmingly like stunned with how bad they were playing. It wasn't like the game against Nashville. It wasn't like the game, you know, against Boston earlier in the year. It wasn't like a lot of these other performances we've seen where the Sharks have just been skated off the ice. It was like they played decently early on, but the goals, the pucks were just finding the back of the net. It was like, you got to be kidding me. Again, it's that reaction that I kept on happening. I mean, again, some games are frustrating. Some games are maddening. Some games are just outright confusing. And last night's game trended towards being confusing just because you felt like the Sharks were doing some good things. You felt like puck movement was good. You felt like they were not making terrible plays in their own end. You felt like they were setting themselves up with decent opportunities. And then finally, all those opportunities came to light in the, you know, later stages of the game to where you get Brent Burns with the Sharks' second goal. And then you have those couple of goals late. And it's like, okay, here's your opportunity. Here's your chance to get back into it. But when you're down 4-1 that early, it's not going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying it can't happen, but ultimately you would like to not fall behind by a score of 4-1. You know, I was at two San Jose sporting events yesterday, one for the Earthquakes and one for the Sharks. My ultimate takeaway is that it's not good to be the home team and fall behind by multiple goals. I don't think I am setting any new science out there for people to check out, but it is my conclusion after a Saturday full of sports that if you are the home team and you fall behind by multiple goals, it's not going to end well for you. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some of the post-game reaction. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Sharks down by two. What's Gregor going to do? Slides it over Chmielewski, stick handles. Oh, he had the whole net and he couldn't bang it in. Score! Sasha Chmielewski deeks Wedgwood down to the ice. And he tried to put it above him. He couldn't do it. The puck hit the outside of the net. But he muscled that way through and got it in. And all of a sudden, it's the Stars 5 and the Sharks 4.
Yeah, I think so. I think the AHL, I know from my experience as a player, you know, watching the AHL over time and going to, you know, watching these young guys and watching AHL games, I think that, you know, most guys will tell you sometimes it's easier to play up here. And the reason being is because, you know, everybody's doing their own job, everybody's organized. You know, and I think that you worry about, you know, your own thing. I think sometimes it gets a little more scrambly and you're looking to do a little too much down there, you know, and maybe cover up from other mistakes. So, you know, Sasha's a pretty versatile player. I've said that before. I think he could play center. He could play wing. He's, you know, we used him on the kill tonight, you know, and he's part of that big goal at the end of the game. So, you know, you try and make adjustments as the game goes on and give guys opportunities where they deserve. And I thought he deserved that opportunity to play on that big line.
People were speaking very highly of Sasha Chmielewski last night after the game. And obviously he continues to impress. And you do notice his mind and the way that he sees the game. And that was definitely a talking point. As you heard Bob Bugner talk about the development from the AHL to the next level and the way that Sasha Chmielewski is able to put things in high quality places and be positioned well and sees the game very well. Logan Couture also weighed in on this as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a poor game since he's been up. I thought he's done something every night to contribute to the team, and very smart player. You know, with Sasha, I watched him play his junior. I still follow my former junior team, and knew that the Sharks were, we had him, we drafted him, and anytime he was playing, whether it was World Juniors or a junior game on television, I would watch him. And one thing that you pick up watching him is his brain. Like you said, skating may not be his strength, but he gets and he puts himself in the correct positions all over the ice. And you know, he kind of skates like Pav, similar to Pav. I'm not, you know, saying he is Joe Pavelski, but he kind of has that look to him when he skates, and he thinks the game in a similar fashion. So, you know, it takes time to get used to the NHL and get up to speed, but I think he's been great so far.
And John Leonard, who was his teammate with the Barracuda and linemate at times, also sees that skill set of Chmielewski when it comes to his mind.
Yeah, obviously he's a great player. Played a lot with him with the Barracuda. We played you know, on the same line for a bit there, and he's a very smart player. You know, works hard, makes plays, and I feel like he's really showing his patience lately on the ice, and you know, that paid off on Bernsey's goal, and then on Cooch's as well. He held on to the puck and took that extra second to make a play.
And Chmielewski himself talked about his processing speed and how that is allowing him to see the game better.
I think for sure. I think that my game has gotten better each game I've played so far. I do see it slowing down a little bit for me, but I think it's also, I just got to take it upon myself to slow it down. You know, you have more time than you think, and you got to make a play. If you want to play in this league, you can't just get rid of pucks. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
And one of the things that I actually kind of like is the idea of these guys, whether it's, you know, Leonard and Chmielewski having played together previously with the Barracuda, is the idea is that as they go forward in their careers, they will have developed together. Because I think that's something you see with a lot of great teams, is that you look at these guys who can point back to their days in the AHL together, or being on, you know, just any sort of team together in that capacity, to where their games develop side by side. And that's not to say that Chmielewski and John Leonard are going to be top line guys, but you also have to acknowledge that having that development is allowing you to have chemistry being built together if they're coming up at the same time and they're having that experience at the American League level, and they bring that with them to the national level. I mean, that is, to me, a big part of what teams can do right. Now, obviously, in a perfect world, these prospects have a very quick development and ascent into the National Hockey League, and you don't have to do as much time at the American League. But, you know, at the same time, I like getting that opportunity for these guys to come up together and play together and build bonds and build chemistry and have a deep and very thorough understanding of each other's games. I think that's something that is easily translatable from one level to the next. Not everything is. Not a lot is something you can look at the American League level to the National Hockey League level. But I think that chemistry, understanding of a guy's game, I think it only becomes that much better when you do get to the NHL level. With Chmielewski and his mind, however, that is something that is clearly operating, and Bob Bugner wanted to reward it.
Yeah, we've been flirting with that combination a little bit in the last few games. I thought Sasha's game was strong. I knew that right off the bat. And, you know, after the first period, I just thought that line really wasn't generating anything. You know, so we looked to put a little speed with Greggy back there and, you know, and Sasha. So, you know, that line's got to be dialed in every night because, I mean, they're seeing you know, they're seeing the hints Pavelski line. You know, that's a pretty tough matchup. So whoever's playing with Cooch has got to be at the top of their game.
And obviously playing alongside Couture, Chmielewski went a long way in helping Logan score that goal late in the game, but ultimately the Sharks did fall short. Obviously one of the things that made a big difference last night was getting Kakinen out and getting James Reimer into the game. This is what Bob Bugner said about that.
Yeah, I think Reimer settled things down. I thought that just, you know, you know, I'd say two out of the four weren't great. And, you know, we've talked about that before. We're not a team that could spot teams and try and play catch up all night, especially against this team, a desperate team looking to stay in a playoff race. And we knew they'd come out hard. They did. But I liked our start. I thought our first few minutes, you know, we went out, we scored the first goal. I could tell when we have legs and we don't have legs. I thought we had good legs tonight. Even when we were down 4-1, I thought we had good legs. It's just unfortunate that, you know, we start the game and you're clawing back all game. But we stayed with it, and you know, we didn't get a lot of power plays, so we had to grind them. Our penalty kill was strong. You know, it was one of those games where it's just a difference of a few shifts in the first period, really, from in my mind.
What's really interesting is that I did not expect us to be speaking of James Reimer the way we are at this point. I mean, I did not know that James Reimer was going to be that calming presence, that guy who settles down games, the difference maker from one game to the next. And obviously we can make the argument about, you know, Timo being the offensive MVP and Reimer being the defensive MVP, but Reimer just has such an impact when he came into that game. I mean, he just immediately settled everything down. it seems like that if he had started the entire game, maybe there's a chance the Sharks win. I can't say for certain, obviously, as there were some things that just did not go the Sharks' way in that first period. But you do feel that calming presence. You do feel like everything's settled around him. And I never expected us to look at James Reimer in that capacity. And I think it's just because the goalie situation overall for the past couple of years had been so relatively tumultuous. It was like you didn't look to your goalie as a position of strength. He didn't look at them as the guy who was going to calm things down. It was just kind of the way it was. And now Reimer comes in and he makes everybody feel better about everything that's going on out there at the ice. He makes the big stops, makes great plays, sees everything so well. Obviously, he's had a great season up to this point and you want it to continue. But, you know, he was a big difference maker in the Sharks being allowed to get back into that game. Sharks also got some guys back out there last night like Jonathan Dahlin and Mario Ferraro. This is what Bob Bugner had to say about them after the game.
Yeah, the first two were just average, very average. You know, that's all I'll say about that. I thought Mario got better as the game went on. I think he's back up to 100% speed yet. And we'll look at that and see how he feels in the morning. But I thought, you know, Mario was always going to give you everything he has, and he battled hard. Like I said, I thought he got better as the game went on.
It was great to see Ferraro back out there. I think he obviously looked a little bit rusty, but still got to get him back out there on the ice. He's such an important part of what the Sharks are trying to do. I thought it was funny. Leonard, who is good friends with Mario Ferraro, used to be roommates with him in college. UMass also talked about just Ferraro getting back and how, you know, he just wasn't shocked that he came back so quickly.
No, I don't think any of you guys are either, obviously. But he's such a hard worker. That speaks for itself. And whatever the doctors tell him, he's going to do. And he's going to do everything he can to be, back on the ice right away. He probably would have skated, the next day if you asked him. But.
And that's another instance, Leonard and Ferraro, getting them out there on the ice at the same time. Obviously, it's different with a defenseman and a forward, but you like the idea of these guys having chemistry that's been brought up together that hopefully can be utilized to the Sharks' advantage. And, you know, while you're not in the playoff picture right now, you look at things that can be maximized for the future. Leonard and Chmielewski playing together in the past. Leonard and Mario Ferraro playing together in the past. Looking at other guys that have this ability to develop chemistry at the AHL level or at a collegiate level or whatever it's going to be and be able to translate that onto the ice when they're repping the Sharks, when they're wearing a Sharks sweater. What can they do to help the Sharks win? And I think that, you know, as you get deeper and deeper into the year, you look at some of these guys who are consistent contributors. You feel good about where Ryan Merkley's game is headed. And, you know, that's a good place to be because not all these guys are having amazing years. I mean, I look no further than Noah Gregor, and we talk about his incredible potential, but at the same time, the numbers aren't there to back it up. And I think that's probably something that's going to be a focus in the offseason and talking about these guys and their opportunities and whether or not they took advantage of it. And believe me, I think Noah Gregor has a bright future, but these young guys need to maximize on these opportunities to give themselves that opportunity going forward. And again, my main thing at this point of the year is to evaluate talent and figure out what your deficiencies are and what you're going to do as a team to put yourself in a better situation going forward. We see it time and time and time again. Sasha Chmielewski. He's had very good showings as of late. You really do see his mind. You really see his ability to read the ice and play off of guys and see where guys are going to be. That's what you like to see. It's the way you see the speed and the overall grit and detail to the game of Noah Gregor. With John Leonard, you see his shot, you see his athleticism and his speed out there. But these are raw players who have a better level of developing. Another guy, Scott Reedy, you see his positioning. He sees the ice rather well. He puts himself in a good position out there, and I think that's something that can be maximized going forward. And it's these times right now that will allow the Sharks to identify what they need to do in the here and now so that they can have success, you know, when it's next year and when it's the year after that and moving forward. And again, I get excited about the developments of your Thomas Bortolos, your William Eklunds. You know, these are guys who I think have big futures with the San Jose Sharks combined with your Ryan Merkleys, combined with a John Leonard. You know, and I don't know that all these guys are going to be, you know, top six forward style guys, but you need guys that are going to be on your third and fourth lines who have great athleticism, who have the ability to impact the game, who have the ability to make the guys around them better. Because that lack of depth, which is not there right now, is ideally what is being developed, is that you can have these guys that are depth players that are turning their games into something more NHL capable in a year that is otherwise, quote unquote, you know, lost isn't the right word, but where you're not headed to the playoffs. What are the Sharks doing right now to ensure they are going to be at the level they want to be next year? Hopefully it's happening out there right now as we look at Chmielewski and Leonard and Merkley, who didn't play last night. But you go down the list of the young players, this is their time to prove what they have to the organization moving forward. All right, that wraps it up for this edition of Morning Tide. I'll be back with you all on Tuesday afternoon as the Sharks get ready to host Edmonton. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.